You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So hype right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my Siege jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the Siege, that's the best way. Melly.
Hey there, welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast, and I want to thank you for making this program part of your daily routine, Monday through Friday. I, John Corrales of MassLive.com, am here for you to talk about your Boston Celtics, good and bad, and we've got both today on this Monday program. Later on in the third segment, I'm going to hand out the three stars of the week in the Taco Mobile. In the second segment, we'll talk about Gordon Hayward. This is the bad stuff. Gordon Hayward broke his hand. I'm sure you've heard by now. And we are waiting for word on how serious this is. Still going to see a specialist on Monday. So right now, we don't know. We don't know how many weeks he's going to be out. But he's going to be out for at least a few weeks. So more on that in segment two. Segment one, this segment, we're going to start off on a good note because you want to hear about good things. It's Monday. You're probably stuck in the car or something and, you know, traffic sucks. So let's talk about something fun. Let's hear about the Boston Celtics beating the San Antonio Spurs 135-115 on Saturday. They won in San Antonio, which never happens. They don't win in San Antonio. It's been a while. And so they did it. And they were led by Jaylen Brown, 30 points on 10 of 18 shooting, 7 rebounds. He looked good. Kemba Walker, 26 points, 8 assists, 5 rebounds. I mean, that's another just kind of great game from Kemba. And, you know, watching the game, you never really felt like it was Kemba takeover time. He hit some big shots, of course, but it was, he just kind of quietly went about his business and dropped 26, 8, and 5. Like, that's nuts. Jason Tatum had 19, a quietly good game, 6 of 13 shooting for him. Marcus Smart and his 4 of 9 from 3, 5 of 10 overall was just very, obviously Marcus Smart doing Marcus Smart things, defending was very good. And Robert Williams, another big story here, perfect 5 of 5, very hard to miss dunks, which he was doing all over the place. 7 rebounds, 6 block shots, and a couple of assists to go along with it. Some nice passing. So let's start with Jaylen, who was just, I mean, I can't even begin to express how good he looked. He really has looked amazing this season. And I know a lot of you are going to continue to bust my balls about my Jaylen take early on, where I said that I think he's going to top out as a high-end role player, and he's exceeding that expectation already. He's shown a lot of the things that I wasn't sure that he was going to be able to do. And the really amazing thing is he has shown basically all of those things. And people are talking about incremental progress from Jaylen. I don't think incremental progress. And it may just be simply the fact that his ball handling seems better. And with the better ball handling comes the confidence to drive and the ability to vary the speeds and the ability to look up and see the floor. It's entirely possible that by improving his ball handling, the overall Jaylen Brown game, the overall experience has just become better. And I'm really watching him in the Spurs game is one of the best games I've ever seen him play. He attacked with calmness, a patience, a precision, an awareness that just haven't seen on a regular basis from Jaylen Brown. And again, if you're not able to handle the ball and dribble, then you're not able to concentrate on a lot of other things. So he now, because we've seen him be able to dribble, he was crossing people up. There was a play where he hit people with, I forget who it was, but crossover dribbles behind the back, setting guys up and attacking, going by people, changing speeds as he goes by people to draw a foul. Without the ability to obviously handle the basketball, you can't do any of that other stuff. You can't set somebody up. You just try to get to the rim as best you can. Use your athleticism. So I'm very impressed. I'm very impressed with Jaylen Brown. And I think he's really starting to show a lot of the things that he has needed to show that he can become one of your top three guys. And so the next step, obviously, I want to see a little bit more passing. But if you can score and drop 30 points on 10 of 18 shooting, then like that, you don't need to pass much. But then at some point, the attention is going to be put on him and working the ball around. He's shown patience with that too. He hasn't forced a ton of shots. Like, it's just, this is turning into like a gushing about Jaylen Brown because for good reason. Jaylen has shown a ton of improvement all across the board. And it's interesting. Adam Himmelsbach of the Globe tweeted out during the game on Saturday, something like, has everyone on this Celtics team met or exceeded their expectations this summer or this season? And I think they have. I can't think of one guy other than Semi Ojeleye who has come in and been more disappointing than we expected. Everyone else is playing up above what they thought they could be. And I really think that Jaylen Brown might have made the biggest improvement year to year. It's just been fun to watch. Also, since we're on the topic of things that takes that people are throwing back at my face, Robert Williams looked good in the second half. Not quite the second half. Second quarter, he started to come on. Obviously, he still makes mistakes, but he hasn't made the types of mistakes that he was making, at least in the preseason, and he's improved on some of these things. He hasn't put it all together yet. He still makes, you know, he still goes for up fakes for sure. Like he bit on a bit hard on a pump fake early in the game, and still tries to block shots too much and all of that stuff. But while he figures that stuff out, he played a great game and really outplayed like LaMarcus Aldridge. LaMarcus Aldridge was no show in this game, going up for those dunks, and some of those dunks were just, whew, man, that dude is one of the most gifted athletes the Celtics have ever had. He's just athletically, that guy is just through the roof. He might break his nose on the rim one day. He gets up so high, but it was good to see that kind of rim running is something that is going to be very beneficial for the Celtics, because if he's on the floor with those other four guys, the other Celtics four wings, whenever Gordon Hayward gets back, they're going to have to really respect his drives, his attack of the rim, his rolls. They're going to have to really pay attention. The defense is going to have to really pay attention to him. Who do you leave? It's going to be really interesting to see if he can get more time with those guys. I'm not sure exactly how it's going to go. We got to see how the Celtics perform when Cantor comes back. But Robert Williams has shown some steady improvement. And to my original point about Robert Williams, it's always been about the reps. And as long as he's getting the reps, he's fine. But he needs those regular reps. And 22 minutes a game, that's fine. If he's getting that time in the NBA and he's obviously making positive impacts, then great. Before the season started, I was thinking that he wouldn't get this amount of time. And let's see what happens when Cantor comes back. If he faces a crunch, and if he does face a crunch, how does he respond to that? When I take a break, we're going to come back, and I'll continue talking about the game, and then I'll get into Gordon Hayward, because that's obviously a big part of this game. So stick around for more of the Locked On Celtics podcast.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
One thing I was really impressed with the Celtics was how active they were defensively. And the Celtics now have, according to basketballreference.com, a top five offense and defense. They're fifth in offensive rating and defensive rating, according to basketballreference.com. I know sometimes they're numbers might differ slightly from the NBA. I don't know why, but regardless, that's better than anybody would have predicted. No one would have predicted a top five defense at any stretch. Even now, I know it's early and a lot can change, but the Celtics were very, very active and getting their hands in passing lanes and forcing turnovers. They forced 15 Spurs turnovers. They got to the rim. They scored 60 points in the paint, which is a wild number. 21 fast break points, which goes along with the 60 points in the paint, because most of your fast break points are layups. They really did a great job of attacking, and especially off of turnovers and Spurs misses. They were out there pushing the pace. And you don't score 135 points without pushing the pace a little bit. They took 94 shots in this game. They forced the Spurs. The Spurs took 99 shots. I don't think they're a very high shot-taking team. So Celtics did a fantastic job defensively. It's amazing to me how Brad Stevens has gotten these guys to buy in and play together the way they have. And it's that connectivity that they've been playing with that is fueled that defense. When you're on the same page, then you can make your switches. You can do things, whatever it is, however you play the pick and roll, you can play your defense with precision because everybody knows, okay, the switch, boom, go. We're doing this. We're icing this pick and roll, forcing the guy down the sidelines towards the baseline. All of those things all go hand in hand. So, just wonderful work by the Celtics against the Spurs are obviously always a good team. People haven't preseason they were picked kind of to be on the fringe of the Western Conference playoffs. So this isn't the old school kind of Spurs team, but they're still, they went into that game 5-3. They are not a bad team. So going out to San Antonio to win your seventh straight game, it takes a lot of effort. Shout out to Marcus Smart again, who was just fantastic defensively. And also, my favorite part of the game actually was after the game when he went up to Pop and Pop looked at him and was like, "No, you get out of here." Where was that shooting when we were in China? That was a funny little moment there on the sidelines. Now to Gordon Hayward, who broke his left hand, the fourth metacarpal, which is the bone in the palm of your hands down below your ring finger. Broke his hand on LaMarcus Aldridge's elbow, maybe. Like Aldridge hit him with a pick and there was a break. Don't know how serious the break is. Don't know if it's one of those displaced fractures or whatever. Like the severity of that break is going to obviously determine a lot of how long it takes for him to get back. This is the exact same injury that Aaron Baines had last year. It took him 4 weeks. Other guys in the NBA have had this injury. They've been back in 4 weeks. So Brad Stevens said after the game that he thinks surgery would shorten the timeline for return. I assume that surgery would involve putting a plate and holding the bone together. And then in a few weeks after like that 4 week time frame where the bone has kind of healed and the plate is holding everything in place, that he'd be able to go out there and play again. But we don't know. That's one assumption. But Gordon's going to take Monday to see hand specialists and see what the next course of action is. The good news is that it's on his left hand. It's not his shooting hand. And if he does indeed have the surgery, then that could speed up the timeline. In the meantime, while he's got the cast on, he can go and run. He can do other things. Like he can go shoot the ball. Like he can just off of a rack, just pick the ball up and shoot free throws and keep that touch, keep that form. He can keep his conditioning up. He can be on a treadmill. He can do a lot of things. He can go through walkthroughs. So it's not going to cost him like a lower body injury would cost him, and it shouldn't be extended time. But it really is crappy timing because Hayward's been on a roll. I mean, he's been on a roll. He has looked good in these games, and he's been cutting. He's been passing. He's been shooting well. I mean, everything that he's done has been fantastic, just fantastic basketball out of Hayward. To see him have to leave with an injury, it's very, very disappointing. And he was on his way to another good game. He played 15 minutes in the first half and was 4 of 9 and had 9 points. He was on his way to a pretty decent game. And who knows if he had gotten to the 20 points, but he was playing pretty well. And now, how do the Celtics recover? Well, we saw Javonte Green come in and play some decent minutes. I don't know. It seems like Brad's trusting Javonte a little bit. So Javonte's going to come in, I think, and pick up some of the slack. They've recalled Romeo Langford, who had a big game in Maine. 27 points on 10 of 15 shooting. 2 of 6 from three. Not a bad night at all for him. He's going to have a shot at potentially getting some minutes. I don't put a ton of stock in G League success. I say the same thing about Summer League. The success doesn't mean much. Failure means more. Because if you can't perform at that level, then that's a problem. If you can, if you're good, you should. But we've seen guys play well at that level and not really have that translate to the NBA. But it was good to see Langford out there playing 32 minutes, and he could get a crack at some minutes with Hayward out. I don't know how the Celtics are going to play this. We saw Brad Stevens go with Marcus Smart when Jalen was out, and I think I would expect Smart to get the starting nod in Hayward's absence again, because I think the value of defending well is bigger than finding somebody that can, for lack of a better term, replace Hayward specifically in the lineup. And starting Smart, it does take away from some of your second unit ball handling, and losing Hayward takes away from some of the second unit ball handling. So that's going to be a tough thing for the Celtics to recover from. But throwing Smart out there increases your defensive ability. And you're playing the Mavericks. They're going to have to try to turn the Mavericks over and see if they can get out and get some easy baskets and score that way, make up for Hayward scoring in that manner. I just think it makes the most sense to have Smart continue to start with Hayward out and try to continue this better than expected defensive effort. I would suggest that Grant Williams could be a possibility as a starting four, and you basically start Kemba, Jalen, and Jason with Grant and Tice. But I don't know if you want to put the rookie out there just yet. Grant has had an issue with overhelping on certain plays. And I think, again, with that defensive mindset. You don't want to have those mistakes put you behind too much too early. I think Brad will probably stick with the connected team, the familiar team, to go out and try to defend early on, and then we'll see how he plays the substitutions and who he now has kind of anchor that second unit. Maybe Tatum, because Tatum has run, he's been handling the ball a little bit. He's run some pick and rolls. If Cantor is back, he's listed as doubtful, by the way, or questionable. I'm sorry, questionable for the Mavericks game. If Cantor can come back and play, then that adds some help because the Celtics are going to need scoring off of the bench. We saw when they had problems, the bench problems with Jaylen when he was hurt. So if they have Cantor back, that would certainly go a long way. If Robert Williams can come in and play like he did against San Antonio, that's going to be very, very helpful. That can help a lot. So the Celtics have some options when it comes to Gordon Hayward and replacing him for however long he's out. Again, we'll wait to see what the situation is with his hands surgery. If that's going to be an option, I would just expect that to be the option. It feels like that's something that if Brad was already talking about them doing that and accelerating the timeline, it just feels like that's something that will probably happen. And I wouldn't be surprised if we just get the word that after seeing the specialist, they just do it, you know, like why wait? I don't think they're going to screw around with this. So we'll get our first chance to figure out what the plan is on Monday night when the Celtics host the Dallas Mavericks. When I come back, the Taco Mobile, the three stars of the week. Stick around for more Locked On Celtics. Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. Every Monday, we kick off the week by handing out a ride on the Taco Mobile. Taco drives a nice big Ford F-150, and he's got room in the back for three guys, the three guys who have earned this ride from the past week from their performances. Now, it's usually been the same guys, and this is an interesting week because I think there are a lot of guys that deserve it. But my first guy is going to be Gordon Hayward, who kicked off the week with a huge game against the Cleveland Cavaliers. He had 39 points in that game on 17 of 20 shooting, 8 assists, 7 rebounds. That was a monster game. Then he continued that in Charlotte, where he had 20 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, and he was on his way, like I said before, in the San Antonio game. Only 9 points, but I'm just going to double all of his numbers because he didn't play in the second half and he broke his hand. And I don't think the broken hand should take away from his performance. I think this week has just been a huge week for Gordon Hayward. He's officially back. You don't have to ask him any more questions about his leg. Now you got to ask questions about his hand. Maybe the hand injury will have everybody kind of so focused on something else that they can stop asking about his leg. It's done. It's over. He's back. The next guy, Kemba Walker. And I think Kemba's just going to like a permanent spot. But he just quietly went about his business. And I'm going to allow the mulligan for the Charlotte game. I'm just going to give it to him because that was the big game. That was the big moment for him. And frankly, I like that he understood that he didn't have it. He wasn't hitting, and he was very willing to pass in those situations. He led the team tied with Gordon Hayward with 6 assists in that game. So yeah, he missed. He had 4 of 12 in that game. and only 14 points. But you know what? He was also a team high plus 20 in that. So recognizing, I'm going to give him credit for recognizing and not forcing on what could have been his, what was his night and what could have been a night where he says, you know what, I'm just going to go for mine. And I think people kind of would have understood that and just kind of said, all right, you know, Kemba's doing his thing. He's just going to try to go off because it's his return. But he didn't. He didn't force it. He didn't really force the issue at all. And only took 12 shots because he knew he wasn't hitting. So I'm going to give that to him. And then in that San Antonio game, like I said before, quietly just kind of rolling along to 26 points, 8 assists, 5 rebounds, no turnovers for him in that game. It's just, he could just go out there and sleepwalk his way to a 20-point night sometimes. So Kemba gets on the taco mobile for sure. And the third guy, so many choices. It could be Tatum, but it's not. Even though Tatum had a really good week, I think. 18 points in the Cleveland game. He had a nice game in Charlotte, 23 points to lead the team against San Antonio. He had another 19, kind of a quiet night against San Antonio. But he deserves to be on, but he's not. You can say Robert Williams with his, but he only had that one really good game, which may be a controversial choice because, I mean, I say controversial. This is where Jay, I think, would come back at me if he was still on the podcast. But he had such a great game against San Antonio that's going to make up for not even playing against Cleveland. I think having that kind of performance and just watching him play a style here that I said in the first segment, it's just so much better. It's so much more fluid. It's just so much more than I expected that I'm going to give him the credit and I'm going to put him on the taco mobile because I just think the way he plays and a play that stood out to me in that Charlotte game was when he, and I mentioned this on that post game podcast, was driving, making his move, understanding that he was stopped and kicking it out. And he continues to do that. He continues to make the right plays and not force things. Now, of course, everybody's going to get cooking and force a shot from time to time. That's going to happen. He's not forcing his game. He's not forcing the offense. He's just kind of taking what's there. And especially when he gets out in transition, I'll be honest, a year ago, I didn't trust him out in transition. Now, the way he plays, I think he's great. Just great. He's sizing people up, making them go where he wants them to go so we can cross them over. It's beautiful. Beautiful to watch. So I'm absolutely going to give in to the recency bias and put Jalen on the taco mobile. I could easily go with Marcus Smart for making Marcus Smart plays. Marcus Smart's out there getting the shit kicked out of him on a daily basis, and he's guarding bigger guys and doing it extraordinarily well, guarding wings, guarding point guards. He does so many little things that you wouldn't even think to watch for, but if you watch some of these defensive possessions closely, you just see how many times he helps and switches and calls out things and really impacts a defensive possession sometimes without even guarding the guy who has the ball. It's wild to see. So many guys deserve to be on the taco truck. I could put Brad Stevens, I could put the whole coaching staff on the taco mobile because they have been able to put a plan together and they're really focusing on things that you could tell went wrong last year and they're doing things better this year. They've coached a team that everybody thought was going to be at best the middle of the road defense. Right now they're the fifth best defensive team in the NBA. So of course that's going to change. But maybe not. I mean, I think it's going to change. I don't know if they can continue being this good defensively all year, but who knows? We didn't think they were going to have that coming in, and here we are. They play Dallas, who is good, but is prone to making mistakes. And so who knows how that continues without Gordon Hayward especially, but they certainly can play good defense against the Mavericks, but they're uniquely constructed, and Luka Doncic is going to be a problem. But look, they face Washington on Wednesday, Golden State. They start a big West Coast road trip. I think that's going to be the biggest test of the season right now so far. Obviously, Golden State's in shambles. Sacramento is in rough shape, but back-to-back, Phoenix, then you play the Clippers, and then Denver. I mean, the Clippers-Denver game is going to be, those games are going to be super important and super interesting. So we'll see how the Celtics progress. In the meantime, continue to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast. We're here for you every day, Monday through Friday, varying guests, different takes. So please subscribe if you haven't subscribed. Follow the show on social media at LO Celtics on Twitter, at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. I'm at Reds Army _ John on Twitter. All you regular subscribers, give us that 5-star rating, give us a good written review, and share the podcast. Tell everybody, listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.